إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave servant and his messenger. This morning, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we would like to complete the final condition of the shurut of la ilaha illallah from the essay of al-imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah entitled Adillat Shurut La Ilaha Illallah, or the evidences for the conditions of the correctness or the acceptability of the declaration of Shahada of La Ilaha Illallah. Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab has mentioned in this, the seventh and final condition. He says, الشرط السابع القبول المنافي للرد. يعني the seventh condition that is required for one's declaration of La Ilaha Illallah to be acceptable and to be correct, is al-qubool, acceptance. Al-qubool al-munafi lil-rad, yani acceptance which negates rejection. Acceptance of the statement of La ilaha illallah and all that it entails and what it requires. And that qubool or that acceptance, it is the negation of rejection. It nullifies rejection. It is the opposite of rejection. Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, he mentions three evidences concerning this particular shart or this condition, a shart al-sabi', two verses from Qur'an and a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As for that which he has mentioned from Qur'an, he says, وَدَلِيلَ al-qubul, or the proof or the evidence for the condition of al-qubul, acceptance of the statement of La ilaha illallah, it is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from Surah Al-Zukhruf, chapter 43, verses 23 through 25. وَكَذَلِكَ مَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ فِي قَرْيَةٍ مِنْ نَذِيرٍ إِلَّا قَالَ مُتْرَفُوهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that indeed, likewise, we have not sent before you, meaning before you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have not sent before you to any town or to any people a warner, a nadir, except that every nadir, every warner that we sent to a people was faced with the mutrafuha, yani the leaders and the influential people, the rich and wealthy people in the society, except that the leaders of that people answered his call with rejection, saying, Inna wajadna aba'ana ala ummatin. وَإِنَّا عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ مُقْتَدُونَ. They used to answer the prophets and the messengers when they called them to the worship of Allah alone, saying that indeed we have found our forefathers, our ancestors, those who came before us, we have found them عَلَىٰ أُمَّةٍ, on a ummah, on a millah, or a deen, a way of life. We have found them following a certain millah, a certain deen. And indeed, we are following them. Indeed, we are following in their footsteps, following that which we found, taking the guidance from those who came before us. Then the caller said to the people, yani answered them by saying, أَوَلَوْ جِئْتُكُمْ بِأَهْدَى مِمَّا وَجَدْتُمْ عَلَيْهِ آبَاءَكُمْ. He said, even, yani what would it be if I bring to you a guidance which is better than the guidance that you found your fathers upon, that you found your ancestors following? What if I bring you a guidance, أَهْدَى, yani which is better guidance than that which you found your fathers following? Would you then follow me? يعني would you then accept that which is better and follow that which is better? قالوا إن بما أرسلت به كافرون. They said that we are disbelievers. We reject that with which you have been sent. يعني they outright showed that they had no intention of following that which the prophets and the messengers have brought to them, even if it was guidance better than that which they found their ancestors upon. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as a result of their outright rejection and refusal to follow the way that has been sent through the prophets and messengers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَانْتَقَمْنَا مِنْهُمْ فَانْظُرْ كَيْفَ كَانَ عَقِبَةُ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ. So we have taken revenge from them, يعني punished them for the rejection of the truth. So look at what was the end of those who denied, يعني who denied the truth when it came to them. The second evidence that Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab mentions is from Surah Al-Safat, chapter 37, verses 35 and 36. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا إِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ يَسْتَقْبِرُونَ وَيَقُولُونَ أَإِنَّا لَتَارِكُوا آلِهَتِنَا لِشَاعِرٍ مَجْنُونَ. يعني whenever it was said to them, La ilaha illallah, whenever it was said to them, believe, say La ilaha illallah, declare that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah, make the worship exclusively for Allah alone. Whenever it was said to them, whenever a prophet or a messenger came to them and required of them to acknowledge that Allah alone deserves to be worshipped, yastakbirun, they were proud and haughty. They considered this as something beyond them, that they couldn't do what they were called to do, and they used to say, shall we leave our gods, yani that which they were worshipping of falsehood, shall we leave it for a poet who is majnoon, who is mad or crazy? Shall we abandon our gods for the call of a madman who is only a poet? And indeed, their response showed that they had no desire whatsoever of seeking the truth, and they were not honest in that they have described the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a poet. Indeed, he had nothing to do with poetry, and he didn't practice poetry, or he didn't use poetry. And indeed, he was sane, and what he called to them was for their own benefit. The third evidence that Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab mentions, it is what he has said here, وَمِنَ السُّنَّةِ مَا ثَبَتَ عن أبي موسى رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال. يعني from the sunnah, that which is confirmed on the authority of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari رضي الله عنه from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, that he said, and in this hadith the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم makes a parable of the types of people. He made the parable of the three types of people which are compared to three types of earth in reference to the knowledge and the guidance that Allah has sent him with. He compared it to the rain that comes down on the dead earth and brings it to life. And what type of earth accepts that water and uses it, and what type rejects it and doesn't benefit from it. He has compared the earth to the people, different types of earth compared to different types of people. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, مَثَلُ مَا بَعَثَنِي اللَّهُ بِهِ مِنَ الْهُدَى وَالْعِلْمِ, that the likeness or the similitude or the example or the parable of that which Allah has missioned me with, of al-huda, guidance, and al-ilm, knowledge, that which Allah has sent him with, كَمَثَلِ الْغَيْثِ الْكَثِيرِ أَصَابَ أَرْضًا. It is the similitude or the likeness of abundant rain which has fallen down on the earth. فَكَانَ مِنْهَا نَقِيَّةٌ قَبِلَتْ الْمَاءَ فَأَنْبَتَتْ الْكَلَى وَالْعُشْبَ الْكَثِيرَ. The first type of earth, he said, is that one which when abundant rain falls on it, then that earth, he said, it is fertile soil which accepts the water. It absorbs the water and then it produces vegetation and growth, grass or other type of growth, in plentiful. Yani the first type of earth is the fertile earth which accepts the rain and then it brings forth growth and vegetation in abundance. وَكَانَتْ مِنْهَا أَجَادِبُ أمسكت الماء فنفع الله بها الناس فشربوا وسقوا وزرعوا. The second type of earth, he said, it is that earth which is it is hard, but it holds the rainwater. It takes hold of the rainwater, it doesn't reject it, and therefore Allah causes that earth to benefit the people. And it holds the water so that the people drink from it, and they water their animals from it, and they use it to plant on the earth, to bring forth, yani to cultivate their land. So the second type of earth, it doesn't take in the water, but because it is hard, but it holds the water like a pond. It holds the water so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows the people to benefit from it. The people drink from it, and they also water their animals with it, and they irrigate their land with it. The third type of earth and third type of people, he said, the third type of earth, وَأَصَابَ مِنْهَا طَائِفَةً أُخْرَى, and that heavy rain, plentiful rain, when it fell on the earth, it fell on another type of earth, طَائِفَةً أُخْرَى, different type of earth, إِنَّمَا هِيَ قِيَعَانُ قِيَعَانٌ لَا تُمْسِكُ مَاءً وَلَا تُنْبِتُ كَلَعْ, and it doesn't hold the water for others to benefit from, nor does it absorb the water and bring forth vegetation. It doesn't give any benefit whatsoever. فَذَلِكَ, then the Prophet ﷺ said that this example of the three types of earth, he said, فَذَلِكَ مَثَلُ مَنْ فَقِهَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ وَنَفَعَهُ مَا بَعَثَنِيَ اللَّهُ بِهِ فَعَلِمَ وَعَلَّمَ. He said, it is the example of the one who understands the deen of Allah. مَنْ فَقِهَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ, he understands the deen of Allah. وَنَفَعَهُ, and he is benefited by that which Allah has missioned me with, yani the guidance and the knowledge that Allah has sent the Prophet with sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said that first type of earth and even the second type of earth, it is the one who understands something from the deen of Allah, and therefore Allah causes that one to benefit from it. He learns and he teaches others. This is the first example of the first type of earth, and it also it has, in some way, it also includes the second type of earth, which also gives some benefit, even though it doesn't benefit itself, but it benefits the people, or the people are benefited from it. Here in this parable, the Prophet ﷺ, in the explanation of it, he has only given the examples of two type of people, and some of the scholars said, therefore, this means that the first two types, the one which benefits itself and benefits others, and the second type, the one which benefits others but doesn't benefit itself, both of them are included in the first example of the one who gives benefit. They are included because they share in the point of benefiting. They both give some benefit. Then the third type of earth, he mentions the example of that, وَمَثَلُوا مَنْ لَمْ يَرْفَعَ بِذَلِكَ رَأْسًا, yani the example of the one who doesn't give any concern for it, yani any concern for that which the Prophet ﷺ has brought, the knowledge of the Sharia, and the guidance, the huda that he has brought to show the people how to live in this world. He said the second example is the one who doesn't give any concern to it. وَلَمْ يَقْبَلْ هُدَى اللَّهِ الَّذِي أُرْسِلْتُ بِهِ, and he doesn't accept the huda of Allah, the guidance of Allah with which I have been sent. Yani this is the shahid, or the point in this hadith that is relevant to our shart for this morning, the seventh shart, al-qubul. It is the second type of people, or the third type of earth, that one which doesn't hold the water so that people may benefit from it, nor does it absorb the water so that it brings forth vegetation. He said that that is the one who doesn't give any concern for that which he has brought, وَلَمْ يَقْبَلْ هُدَى اللَّهِ, and that one doesn't accept the guidance of Allah which I have been sent with. That means that one doesn't accept the water, it means he doesn't accept the guidance and the knowledge, doesn't benefit others nor benefit oneself. The one who doesn't accept, that means the one who has rejected. And this is the point of the hadith relevant to our discussion, al-qubul, acceptance of la ilaha illallah. This type of earth, it refers to a type of people that does not accept the guidance but rejects it. Then the Shaykh, in the explanation of the first evidence, he says the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَكَذَلِكَ مَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ فِي قَرْيَةٍ مِنْ نَذِيرٍ إِلَّا قَالَ مُتْرَفُوهَا, that so it is, the likeness of those that we have not sent any warner, any nadir before you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have not sent any warner to any people before you, except that the rich ones, the wealthy ones, the leaders in their society, they used to say, Inna wajadna abana ala ummatin wa inna ala atharihim muqtadun, that we found our forefathers following a certain way, a certain deen, a certain religion, and indeed we are following in their footsteps. Here the Shaykh says in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us that the practice of the Quraysh and those who were with them in rejecting the call of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and turning away from him, turning away from that which he has brought of the truth, it is similar to the practice of the earlier nations with the earlier prophets. Yani the earlier nations, they also did the same. Yani here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَكَذَلِكَ مَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ, yani that it is not only you that has been rejected by your people, but likewise the earlier prophets were also rejected similarly by their people. The Shaykh says, الْبَاعِثْ لِهَاُولَاءِ وَأُولَائِكَ هُوَ التَّقْلِيدْ لِلْأَشْخَاصِ وَالنُّحُلْ وَالنَّحْلِ, that the argument or the thing that motivated these, the Quraysh disbelievers, and those, the earlier disbelievers to whom earlier prophets were sent, the thing that caused them to act in this way was their blind following of personalities and following the false creeds of those who came before them. Yani, this was the thing that caused them to reject the truth. It was their blind following of those who came before them and the blind following of the way or the religion or the beliefs of their ancestors. Their argument was merely that we found our fathers following this way, and therefore we are following it. So this was their argument, and this was the cause of their rejection of the truth. Not that the truth wasn't clear to them, but it was merely that they only wanted to follow that which they found their fathers upon. The Shaykh Abdurrahman ibn Nasir al-Sa'di, rahimahullah, in his tafsir of this verse, that likewise, we have not sent any warner to a people before you, except that the leaders from amongst their people responded in this way. He said that the mutrafuha, it means those people who have been given the ni'm of Allah, the bounties and favors, those who were wealthy and rich, so that the things of the dunya caused them to transgress the bounds, and their wealth deceived them, and they became proud and arrogant in rejecting the truth. It was due to their wealth and that which they have been given of the worldly things, that they were deceived and they were caused to transgress the bounds and to arrogantly reject the truth. Then he said, as for their argument that indeed we found our fathers on a ummah, on a deen or a way, and therefore we are following in their footsteps, he said this means that these people, the Quraysh, who rejected the call of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are not something new, the first people who have come saying such a saying. But people before them also used to say the same thing. Their argument, the argument of the astray mushrikeen of Mecca in blindly following their astray ancestors, what was intended by this, they didn't have any intention of following the truth and the right guidance, but indeed it was merely ta'assub. It was merely fanaticism, yani in blindly following whatever their fathers were upon without any consideration of what is right and what is wrong. They intended only to support the falsehood that they were upon and that they found their ancestors upon. There was no consideration here whatsoever of following the truth. They said, we found our fathers following this way and therefore we will follow them. We won't even consider whether what we found our fathers upon were true or not, but we just will follow whatever they were upon, yani ta'assuban, fanatically following that which they have found their ancestors without any consideration of the truth. For this reason, every messenger, the Shaykh says, every messenger was saying to those who opposed him, with this argument, this false excuse that we found our fathers following it, the prophets, every one of them, every messenger, likewise responded to them with the argument, أَوَلَوْ جِئْتُكُمْ بِأَهْدَى مِمَّا وَجَدْتُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَبَاكُمْ, yani, what about if I brought to you guidance that is better than what you found your fathers upon? Yani, if you are following your fathers because they are following guidance, what if I bring you a better guidance? So the prophets used to respond to them with an argument that indeed if you are following them because they are upon guidance, what if I bring you that which is more rightly guided? Then will you follow me? Yani, will you follow me in order to follow the better guidance? Then it became clear that they had no intention to follow the guidance, as the Shaykh says here, in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he has narrated from them. قالوا, they said, إِنَّ بِمَا أُرْسِلْتُمْ بِهِ كَافِرُونَ, that that which you have been sent with, we are kafirun, we are disbelievers in it, we are rejecters of it, we do not accept it. So from this it becomes clear that they had no intention to follow the haqq and the huda, the truth and guidance, but indeed it was their intention to follow falsehood and to follow their desires. Therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَانْتَقَمْنَا مِنْهُمْ, therefore we took revenge from them, yani we punished them due to their denial of the truth and their rejection of the truth with this false yani excuse or this false argument that we are just following what we found our fathers upon. Then Allah closed this ayah by bringing to our attention the need to consider what the previous nations have done and how they have gone astray and why they have gone astray and what was the end of their rejection of the truth without any legitimate reason. فَانْظُرْ كَيْفَ كَانَ عَقِبَةُ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ, so look and see what was the end of the deniers, yani those previous nations who denied the truth, what was their end? That they were punished by Allah. So in this case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is warning the people that if they continue in denying the truth, denying what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have brought, then the same thing that has afflicted the previous nations who rejected, the same thing will also afflict them. Then the Shaykh says, Shaykh al-Ubayd al-Jabiri hafidhahullah, he says that these ayats, yani these two ayats, there are a number of benefits that are derived from them. The first benefit derived from them is that in these ayats there is a firmness or tathbeet qalb al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yani these ayats are intended to make him firm when he knows that the previous prophets were also rejected, but the success will come to those who are calling to the way of Allah. So in these ayats there is a firmness for the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and consolation in him knowing that he is not the first one. He is not the first one whose sayings were rejected, but previous to him, other prophets and messengers, when they called the people, they were all also rejected. And likewise, his people, they are not the first people to deny the truth, but previous nations also denied the truth that their prophets and messengers came with. The second point he said derived from these ayats is that these ayats contain a warning against opposing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yani whoever opposed him, then the same fate that came to the previous nations who rejected their prophets will come to them. And the third point he mentions is the danger of blind following, the danger of taqleed. This is something for the Muslims to consider today. Not only the disbelievers who reject Islam and reject the truth, but this is also a matter of concern for the Muslims today who reject the truth when it comes to them to follow the sunnah and to follow the correct aqeedah and to follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, instead of following the cultural ways and deviation and innovations that have crept into the lifestyle of the Muslims in all parts of the world today. Here the Shaykh said the third point derived from these verses is the danger of blind following, and that it is the greatest thing that turns people away from accepting the truth, that discourages people from accepting the truth and the guidance, blind following. And that which indicates the danger of blind following, he says, is that which has been reported in As-Sahihain and the Sahih of Al-Bukhari and the Sahih of Muslim on the authority of Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib, rahimahullah, who reported from his father that when the death came to Abu Talib, yani when he was on his deathbed about to die, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to him, and he found with him Abu Jahl and Abdullah ibn Abi Umayyah al-Mughira. He found these two people with his uncle Abu Talib. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to his uncle, "Qul la ilaha illallah." Yani say the word of la ilaha illallah. It is a word that I will be able to use to defend you in front of Allah. Meaning on Yawm al-Qiyamah, I will be able to ask Allah to save you from punishment. If you will say this word, then I can use it as a means to defend you in front of Allah on Yawm Qiyamah. At that point, when the Prophet ﷺ asked him to enter Islam by declaring La ilaha illallah, the enemies of Islam, the mushrikeen, his mushrikeen friend Abu Jahl and Abdullah ibn Abi Umayyah, they said, do you desire to turn away from the religion of Abdul Muttalib? Yani, do you intend to answer this call of testifying to La ilaha illallah and reject the religion of your forefathers, the religion of your father and your ancestors? So the Prophet ﷺ continued to offer to him this opportunity to enter into Islam, to declare La ilaha illallah, and those two pagans continued to say what they were saying. Yani, he continued to call him to enter into Islam, and they continued to distract him by asking him, putting doubt in his mind about the matter of rejecting that which his ancestors were upon. The Prophet ﷺ said, I swear by Allah I will continue to ask for forgiveness to you as long as I am not prohibited from doing so. Yani, that he intended to continue asking Allah to forgive his uncle for the good that he has done in defending the Prophet ﷺ and defending his mission and supporting him and helping him and suffering in the boycott of the pagan disbelievers along with the Prophet ﷺ. He said that for that I will continue to ask Allah's forgiveness as long as Allah doesn't prevent me from doing so. Then the verse was revealed in the Quran in Surah At-Tawbah, chapter 9, verse 113, مَا كَانَ لِلنَّبِيِّ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن يَسْتَغْفِرُوا لِلْمُشْرِكِينَ, that it is not fitting and it is not proper that the Prophet ﷺ and those who believe that they will ask forgiveness for the mushrikeen. So with the revelation of that ayat, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited the Prophet ﷺ from asking for forgiveness for his uncle. Likewise, it has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed concerning Abu Talib the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Qasas, chapter 28, verse 56, إِنَّكَ لَا تَحْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءَ, that verily you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you cannot guide whom you love and who you wish and will and who you want to guide. It is not that you love somebody, therefore they will be guided. إِنَّكَ لَا تَحْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ, you cannot guide whom you love, وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءَ, but it is Allah who guides whomever He wills. Yani, the guidance is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is a clear statement from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that even the most beloved of creation and the best of the creatures, the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the guidance is not in his hand, but the guidance is with Allah. He guides whomever He wills according to His wisdom and His perfect knowledge. Here the Shaykh mentions here in the Sharh that the statement of Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, Al-Mas'ala Al-Thamina, the eighth issue, and this is taken from Kitab al-Tawheed, the book of Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, dealing with the issues of al-Tawheed and Shirk. And under this hadith, the Shaykh Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab has mentioned a number of issues related to this topic in Kitab al-Tawheed. And he said the eighth issue, the harm that comes to a person from evil companions, from having evil companions. Yani, from this hadith, it becomes clear that Abu Talib, he was harm, a great harm came to him because of his evil companions, Abu Jahl, who, when he was being called and had a chance to be saved, then his evil companions convinced him to stay on the religion of falsehood of his forefathers. So this hadith, the Shaykh says that this is one of the points that may be derived from this hadith, the harms of evil companions. Therefore, a person should seek good companions, companions that will benefit and who will not harm. At Al-Mas'ala At-Tasiyah, and he also mentioned in that same chapter in Kitab al-Tawheed, the ninth issue, the harm of glorifying and holding in high esteem one's ancestors and one's leaders. That also, whoever raises up and glorifies and holds in too high esteem one's predecessors or ancestors or one's leaders, then likewise they may be misled by following them instead of following the truth which has come clearly to the people from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the Shaykh says, look, may Allah guide you, may Allah guide us and you. He said, look at how Abu Talib preferred or gave preference to the deen of his fathers and his ancestors, and he refused to testify to the shahada of haq, the testimony of truth of La ilaha illallah, because he gave preference to his ancestors and what they were upon and their religion of falsehood. Then he mentioned the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَذِكْرَ لِمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ قَلْبٌ أَوْ أَلْقَ السَّمْعَ وَهُوَ الشَّهِيدُ. Indeed, and that is a reminder. Yani in this is a reminder for the one who has a heart. Yani the one who has a mind to reflect and to think and understand. Or the one who listens. Yani who listens to the call when it comes to them and listens to the truth attentively. وَهُوَ الشَّهِيدُ. And he is a witness. Yani he is heedful, conscious, and aware of that which he is called to. Indeed, and this is a reminder for the one who understands, and the one who listens, and the one who is heedful. Then he said, be warned, O Muslim, from at-ta'assub al-ahmaq, yani from ignorant, foolish, stupid fanaticism, yani from following the way of your group, or your society, or your culture, out of ignorance, even though one sees that it is wrong. This is ta'assub, that a person follows their madhab, or the way of their people, or their culture, or the habits and customs of their people, even when they see it is wrong. He said, beware of a ta'assub al-ahmaq, wa taqleed al-a'mar, blind following, and stupid, ignorant, foolish fanaticism. A person should beware of this, and we should accept the truth when it comes to us, even if it is against what our ancestors were upon, and what our parents and family and society is upon. As for the second evidence of Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, the Shaykh says, the saying, إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا إِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, that verily, whenever it was said to them, لا إله إلا الله, yani whenever they were called to the shahada of لا إله إلا الله, they used to be proud, they used to reject out of pride and arrogance this call. He says, he quotes the statement of Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, rahimahullah, in his tafsir of this verse, where he said that they were called to it. They were called to La ilaha illallah, to testify to La ilaha illallah, and they were commanded to abandon and to leave every deity other than Allah. They were called to declare and to acknowledge that worship belongs to Allah alone, and to reject and to abandon every deity that is worshipped besides Allah. He said, but they yastakbirun. Yastakbirun, they were proud. They arrogantly and proudly rejected this call, and they rejected whoever came with this call, meaning the prophets and messengers and those who called to the truth. And they used to say in opposition to this call, that shall we leave our gods, which we are worshipping, which we continue to worship, we and our fathers, our ancestors, shall we leave our gods for the saying or the opinion or the call of an insane poet? They meant by that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it wasn't sufficient, may Allah disgrace them, it wasn't sufficient that they turned away from the truth, it wasn't sufficient that they rejected and denied the truth, but they had to go further than that until they ruled against the Prophet. They made a ruling and a judgment against the Prophet with yani the most injustice that one can rule with. They made an unjust ruling against the Prophet, and they declared him to be an insane poet. And it wasn't enough that they turned away from him and they denied his message, but they went further than that and declared him to be insane and to be a mere poet, while they knew that he didn't know anything about poetry or poets, and that no one has described him with such before. And indeed, he was the most intelligent and the wisest of the creatures of Allah, and he had the best opinion or view or intellect of all of the people. And his view of the matter, it was the best, and he was the most intellectual and the wisest and the most intelligent of them, yet they rejected what he called to, declaring him to be insane. The Shaykh says that this practice or this action from the mushrikeen, it is the utmost limit or extent or the end, the furthest that one can go in turning away and abandoning the truth. And likewise, it is the most evil and ugly method of closing the way to Allah, yani the way that they have responded to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For this reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of their denial of the truth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala denied them, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rejected their saying, and he refuted their lies which they have invented in the ayat which follows this ayat, by saying بل جاء بالحق وصدق المرسلين. Yani when they said, shall we abandon our gods for the saying of an insane poet, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refuted them and rejected them and denied them, saying بل جاء بالحق. Indeed, rather, he is not an insane poet, but he has come with the truth. He has brought the Quran and the deen al-haq, and he has صدق المرسلين, yani he has testified and confirmed the truth of what the previous messengers before him have come with. Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir rahimahullah, in his tafsir of these verses, says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala denied them and rejected them and refuted them when he said بَلْ جَعَ بِالْحَقِّ, that indeed rather he has come with the truth, meaning he is not an insane poet, but indeed he has come with the truth. Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir said this means the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he has brought the haq in all of what Allah has legislated for him, the news that he has brought of the previous nations or of the future, and the commands or prohibitions that Allah has requested the people to observe. وَصَدَّقَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ, and he has testified to the truthfulness of the prophets and messengers who came before him. He said it means that he has testified and confirmed the truth of what they have informed about him, of his الصفات الحميدة والمناهج السديدة, يعني that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he has come and acted in conformance or in conformity with that which the earlier prophets have mentioned about him concerning his praiseworthy characteristics and his correct and straight and right manhaj or methodology. And likewise, he has informed the people from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of what Allah has legislated and what Allah has commanded him with, kama akhbaru, just as they have said that he would do, just as the previous prophets said about him. Then he closed with the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani Ibn Kathir closed with this, with these words, ma yuqalu laka illa ma qad qila lirrusul min qablik, yani that nothing will be said to you except that which has been said to the messengers before you, yani just as you have been denied, it is no more than what has been said to the earlier prophets and messengers. They have also been denied similarly. As for the last evidence of Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, the Shaykh says, as for his saying, it is confirmed in the Sunnah from Abu Musa al-Ashari radiallahu anhu. He said that this has been reported by Shaykhain, that is Al-Bukhari and Muslim, and the wording of this hadith is from Al-Bukhari. As for the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَثَلُ مَا بَعَثَنِي اللَّهُ بِهِ مِنَ الْهُدَى وَالْعِلْمِ, that the example or the similitude or the likeness of what Allah has sent me with, of guidance and knowledge, he said the parable or the similitude, he said, concerning these words, the Shaykh says that the manner in which the author Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab has used this hadith as a proof for our topic of discussion, that is the seventh Shart Al-Qubul, he said it becomes clear from the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yani how he has used this hadith as a proof becomes clear from the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The explanation after mentioning the three types of earth, the one which accepts the water and holds it and absorbs it and brings forth vegetation, and the one which just holds the water but doesn't absorb it, and the people benefit from it by drinking from it and irrigating their land and drink and giving water to their cattle, and the land that doesn't hold the water nor bring forth any vegetation. After that, the Prophet ﷺ explained that the meaning of this parable, he said it is the likeness of the one who has understanding of the deen of Allah, so that he benefits from what Allah has sent me with. He learns and he teaches. And he learns, he benefits himself, and then he also benefits others by teaching the people. He said, and the likeness, the other example of people in this parable, he said, is the likeness of the one who doesn't care at all, who doesn't give any concern for what I have been sent with. وَلَمْ يَقْبَلْ هُدَى اللَّهِ الَّذِي أُرْسِلْتُ بِهِ, and this is the shahid. He said, here it becomes clear how the author has used this as a proof for Al-Qubul. He said, the second likeness is the one who doesn't have any concern for what I've been sent with, and he does not accept, لَمْ يَقْبَلْ, he does not accept the guidance of Allah which I have been sent with. Then the Shaykh closes here with the explanation of this parable as it was given by Al-Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah in his Sharh of Sahih Muslim. Al-Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah says, as for the meanings of this hadith and what is intended by it, what is intended is that it is a parable or a similitude of the guidance which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been missioned with. It is a parable of the guidance, the huda, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been missioned with. And the meaning of this hadith, its meaning or the meaning of this parable, is that the earth is of three types, and likewise people are of three types. The first type of earth is the one which benefits from the rain. So it is brought to life. It is given life. That earth, it is given life after it has been dead and dormant. And it brings forth growth or vegetation from the earth. Therefore, the people and the cattle benefit from it. And the other irrigation of the land is also benefited from this earth, which benefits from the rain, which absorbs it and comes to life and brings forth vegetation for the people and animals to benefit from. Likewise, the first type of people are like this earth. When the guidance comes to them, when it reaches them, when the guidance and the knowledge comes to them, they memorize it, they preserve it. Therefore, their heart comes to life and they act in accordance with it to benefit themselves, and they teach it to others to benefit others. Therefore, they benefit and they also give benefit to other people. This is the first type of people compared to the first type of earth. It benefits itself and it benefits others. It is the people who benefit from that knowledge. They act in accordance with it. And then they benefit others by teaching it to other people. The second type of earth is the one that doesn't accept the water to benefit itself. It doesn't absorb it so that the earth itself benefits. However, it has a benefit in that it holds the water for others, so that the people and the animals, the cattle, benefit from it. The people drink from that water and the cattle drink from that water. So though the land doesn't absorb that water so that it benefits, but it holds the water so that others may benefit. Likewise is the second type of people. They have hearts which preserve the knowledge. However, they don't have the piercing insight or the in-depth intellect so that they can derive from that knowledge which they have memorized its meanings and its rulings and ahkam. They don't have the ijtihad, the ability to make ijtihad in using that knowledge for obedience to Allah and acting according to it. So they preserve it. They hold on to that knowledge and they preserve it until a needy student comes, one who is thirsty for that which they have, who is thirsty for that knowledge, that water which they have preserved. They wait until a thirsty, needy student comes who is in need and who desires that knowledge and who is capable of benefiting from that knowledge and benefiting others. So that person, that student comes to them and takes from them the knowledge and benefits from it. The other people take it from them, and therefore other people benefit from that which they are holding or that which they have memorized. So these people who preserve the knowledge for others but who don't act in accordance with it themselves, they give benefit with, yani they benefit others with what has reached them. Yani they preserve it and hold it until others will come who will benefit from it. The third type of earth, it is the barren earth, which is hard. It doesn't absorb the water, nor does it hold it. It doesn't bring forth any vegetation and so on. That one, this type of earth doesn't benefit from the water. It doesn't hold the water, nor does it absorb it so that it brings anything, crop or vegetation from the earth. So so that others will benefit from it. It doesn't absorb it, nor does it hold it so that others will benefit. So there's no benefit from this type of earth, and this is similar to the third type of people. They don't have the hearts to preserve the knowledge. They don't memorize or collect and preserve the knowledge, nor do they have the understanding to derive from that knowledge any benefit for themselves. So if they hear the knowledge, they don't benefit, nor do they memorize it or preserve it for the benefit of others. And if they don't get any benefit themselves, nor do they give benefit to others. Wallahu a'lam. This is the explanation of Al-Imam An-Nawawi. Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar Al-Asqalani also has explained this hadith, or he has mentioned the statement of Al-Qurtubi, and he said that these three types of earth are three types of people. The first of them is Al-Alim, Al-Amil, Al-Muallim. Al-Alim, the one who has knowledge. Al-Amil, the one who acts in accordance with his knowledge. Wal-Muallim, and he teaches it to others. And then he talks about that one, and he said the second type is Al-Jami lil-Ilm, Al-Mustagraq li-Zamanihi fihi, the one who collects knowledge, who spends all of his time in collecting knowledge, but he himself doesn't benefit from it, but other people benefit from what he has collected. And the third of them is the one who hears the knowledge, but he doesn't preserve it, nor does he act in accordance with it, nor does he transmit it to others. من يسمع العلم, he hears it, فلا يحفظه, but he doesn't preserve it, ولا يعمل به, and he doesn't act in accordance with it, ولا ينقله لغيره, nor does he transmit it to others. That is the one who doesn't benefit himself by acting in accordance with what he heard, nor does he memorize it so that others may benefit, so that he may transmit it to others. Then the Shaykh closes here, and he says that in this hadith, there are different types of knowledge or benefits or points that may be derived from it. The first is darb al-amthal, and he making examples or parables or similitudes. That this is a way of teaching. The Prophet ﷺ has used the making of examples, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used it in the Quran, similitudes, in order to bring closer to the understanding, to the minds of the people, a particular point. The second point that is derived from this hadith is the virtue and excellence of knowledge and teaching. The excellence of knowledge itself and the excellence of teaching, transmitting that knowledge to others. The third point is the serious encouragement in this hadith, yani to seek knowledge, شِدَّةُ الْحَثْ عَلَيْهَا, yani that is a serious encouragement to seek knowledge, to seek the knowledge, to act in accordance with it, and to teach it to others. And the fourth point, the final point that he mentioned from this hadith, is the blame or the censure of those who turn away from knowledge, those who reject and who refuse to accept the knowledge, to give concern to the knowledge, to learn it, and to act in accordance with it, and to teach it. Yani that those who turn away from knowledge are blamed. Therefore, this hadith is a clear proof against those who feel that as long as they are Muslims, they are not in need of getting knowledge. While indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised those who seek the knowledge and who act in accordance with it, and even those who take the knowledge and teach it to others, even if they don't benefit themselves from it. And even if they don't, for example, benefit fully from their knowledge, they don't perhaps benefit from all of the virtuous acts that they learn about, they might merely fulfill the obligatory duties of fasting.
And the Shaykh closes by saying that this is what Allah has made easy for me to compile and to compose concerning a brief explanation of the evidences of the shurut of La ilaha illallah. And this explanation has been completed on the night of Al-Khamis, Thursday, which was the 21st of Rabi' al-Thani, the second month of Rabi' in the year 1414 of the Hijrah, 1414 of the Hijrah, and that was in Al-Madinah al-Nabawiyyah, the city of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he closed by saying, Alhamdulillah, alladhi bi ni'matihi tatamma as-salihat, wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. And this is the end of what we wanted to cover in this essay. At this time, inshallah, we'll just quickly look at the questions at the end of the handout, and then take any questions or comments or corrections concerning this, the seventh shart, or the previous ones that we have covered. The first question: discuss a shart as-sabi', the seventh condition of La ilaha illallah, and mention the previous shurut or conditions previously, briefly. The seventh condition is al-qubul al-munafi lil-rad, yani it is the need or the necessity of acceptance of La ilaha illallah, acceptance which negates or nullifies rejection, and in complete and full acceptance and acting in accordance with what this La ilaha illallah entails. And when anyone is called to the truth, accepting it, this is a condition of the conditions of La ilaha illallah. Question number two, mention a dalil, or the previous conditions that we have mentioned include al-ilm, wal-yaqeen, wal-ikhlas, wal-sidq, wal-mahabba, wal-inqiyad. Al-ilm, the knowledge of the meaning of La ilaha illallah, what it negates and confirms, and al-yaqeen, the perfection of knowledge, complete knowledge of uncertainty of La ilaha illallah. Al-ikhlas, saying it sincerely for the sake of Allah. Al-sidq, saying it truthfully, which negates and nullifies lying and rejection. And al-mahabba, loving the word of La ilaha illallah and all that it entails, and inqiyad, submission and surrender and compliance with what La ilaha illallah requires. Second question, mention a dalil or evidence from the Quran for this shart. Yani the two evidences from the Quran that the Shaykh has mentioned is that which is mentioned in Surah Al-Zukhruf, chapter 43, verse 23 to 25, and the point of that ayat which is of significance, yani, is that they rejected, yani, the call when it came to them. They said, "Inna bima ursiltu bihi kafirun." They outright said, "We have rejected that which you have been sent with. And in the second ayat, in Surah Al-Saffat, chapter 37, verses 35 and 36, the point is in the that when they were called to say La ilaha illallah, they were proud. وَيَقُولُونَ أَإِنَّا لَتَارِكُوا آلِهَتِنَا بِشَاعِرٍ مَجْنُونَ That shall we abandon our gods for an insane poet? And their outright rejection when what was required of them is acceptance. Number three, mention a delil or evidence from the sunnah for this shart. The evidence from the sunnah that the shaykh has mentioned is that which is reported in the Bukhari and Muslim, the parable which the Prophet ﷺ made for the types of earth, the three types of earth, that one which absorbs the water and brings forth vegetation so that the earth comes to life, it benefits itself and brings forth growth that the people and the animals benefit from. And the second type is that earth which is hard, it doesn't absorb the water, however it holds the water so that the people and the cattle will drink from it and benefit from it. And the third type is the one that doesn't absorb the water nor hold it, but it rejects it. And that is the point, yani, that is of reference here. The type of earth which is like the type of people which rejects the water or rejects the truth. Number four, discuss the argument of the disbelievers for their rejection of the da'wah of the prophets and messengers of Allah. Yani, the argument of the disbelievers was that we are merely following. إِنَّا وَجَدْنَا آبَاءَنَا عَلَىٰ أُمَّةٍ وَإِنَّا عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ مُحْتَدُونَ That we found our forefathers on an ummah, on a deen, on a millah, following a certain religion, and we are following in their footsteps. Their argument was that of blind following personalities or blind following the creed of their ancestors. The argument was that what we found is what we follow without any consideration of whether it is right or wrong. Question number five, what was the response of the prophets to this false argument? The response of the prophets is that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, that the prophets answered them with the earlier prophets. Every prophet, when they were opposed, when they were answered, when they were given this argument from the people, they used to say, أَوَلَوْ جِئْتُكُمْ بِأَهْدَى مِمَّا وَجَدْتُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَبَاكُمْ Yani, what if I come to you with that which is better guidance than what you found your fathers upon? Yani, the argument of the prophets is, if you are following your ancestors because they are on guidance, well, what if I bring you a better guidance? Indeed, they were not upon guidance, but the argument of the prophets is, if you are following them because they are on guidance, then what if I bring you a better guidance? Then will you follow me because of that guidance, because of the better guidance? And that really brought out the truth of the matter, that indeed they were not following their ancestors because they were guided, and they had no intention of following the guidance, but indeed they just wanted to follow their own desires, blindly following their ancestors. Question number six, what was the occasion for the revelation of the verse, Verily you, O Muhammad, guide match whom you like, but Allah guides whomever He wills. Yani, إِنَّكَ لَا تَحْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَحْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءَ From Surah Al-Qasas, chapter 28, verse 56. Yani, the occasion for the revelation of this verse, it was in reference to the uncle of the Prophet, Abu Talib, who on his deathbed, the Prophet ﷺ called to him to enter Islam by testifying to La ilaha illallah. And this ayat was revealed to the Prophet ﷺ, informing him that at-tawfiq, hidayat at-tawfiq, the guidance of turning the hearts and opening one's heart to acceptance of the truth, it is not with you. That is with Allah alone. That which is negated in this ayat, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ You do not guide whom you love, it is hidayat at-tawfiq. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayat was making it clear that the hidayah to tawfiq, the hidayah which, yani, it is the giving success to a person to accept the truth is with Allah alone. So it was revealed in reference to his uncle Abu Talib, who on his deathbed was called to the truth, but who was also called to remain on the falsehood of his ancestors by his evil friends, his evil companions. So the Prophet ﷺ was informed in this verse by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the tawfiq is with Allah alone. However, بهداية الإرشاد, يعني showing the way and calling people to the way, that is guidance, that is with the prophets and messengers and those who follow in their way. Question number 7, discuss the ayat, truly when it was said to them, لا إله إلا الله, they puffed up with pride. This ayat, the meaning of this ayat, the general meaning of this ayat, as the Shaykh has mentioned, is that when the people, the pagan disbelievers, were called to testify to the oneness of Allah, when they were called to say La ilaha illallah, to acknowledge that Allah alone deserves to be worshipped, when they were ordered to abandon their false gods and the pagan idols that they were worshipping, that they, out of pride and arrogance, they rejected the truth, and they rejected those who came with the truth with the mere argument, shall we abandon our gods, which we are worshipping and which our forefathers worshipped, due to the call of an insane poet. And in the meaning of this ayat is that when the people were called to the truth and ordered to abandon falsehood and the false worship of idols, it was only out of pride and arrogance that they rejected the truth, not because they thought it was not true. And their mere argument was, shall we abandon our false gods? Since we have been worshipping them, shall we abandon them? Indeed, if they know that it is false, then they should have abandoned it when the truth came to them. So they had no legitimate argument. It was only out of pride and arrogance that they have rejected the truth when it came to them. The last question mentioned the three types of earth and the three types of people in the parable of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the three types of earth, as we have already mentioned in the explanation of Al-Imam An-Nawawi, the three types of people. The three types of earth is the earth that absorbs the water and brings forth vegetation. Yani it benefits itself and benefits others. And the second type of earth is the one which holds the water. So it doesn't benefit itself, but it allows others to benefit. And the third type is the one that doesn't absorb the water for itself, nor does it hold the water in order for others to benefit. And this is in similar to the three types of people. That is the one who receives the knowledge and accepts it and acts in accordance with it so that he benefits himself and then teaches it to others so that others benefit. And the second type, it is the one that doesn't get the full benefit from one's knowledge but collects and preserves and memorizes the knowledge so that other people may come along and take that knowledge and benefit from it. And the third type is the one that doesn't have any concern for the knowledge, turns away from the knowledge, rejects it, and does not accept it, so that he doesn't collect the knowledge so that he may benefit, nor that others may benefit. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Is there any questions or comments concerning this last shart, the seventh condition of la ilaha illallah? Then we will take them first. And then if there are any questions about the previous conditions, we'll take those questions one by one from lecture number 1, then lecture number 2 on down. If there are any questions from today's lecture, we'll take them first. If sisters have any questions, you may call now. Question is concerning the what Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani mentioned concerning the three types of people that are compared, that are given similitude in this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani in Fath al-Bari, explanation of Sahih Bukhari, says that the first type of people, it is al-alim, al-amil, al-muallim. Al-alim, the one who has knowledge. Al-amil, the one who acts in accordance with it. And al-muallim, the one who teaches others. The second type is al-jami' lil-ilm, al-mustaghraq لزمانه فيه. الجامع للعلم, the one who collects and gathers knowledge and who spends all of his time, المستبرق لزمانه فيه, who spends all of his time in knowledge and seeking knowledge. The third of them is من يسمع العلم فلا يحفظه ولا يعمل به ولا ينقله لغيره. يعني the one who hears the knowledge but doesn't preserve it or memorize it or collect it for others. ولا يعمل به, nor does he act in accordance with it. ولا ينقله لغيره, nor does he transmit it to others. يعني the one who hears the knowledge but does not protect and preserve it, transmit it to others, nor act in accordance with it. This is what Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani mentioned. Any other questions?